There's a couple of reasons why we are offering this kind of course. One reason is very obvious, is that in our growth in devotional service, we need to constantly be able to move through blocks. We need to constantly be able to keep the goal in mind, to be excited by it, and to keep being enlivened as we maintain utsaha, enthusiasm. And in doing that, there are so many ways that Maya finds to bring obfuscation. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's quite sad how long we can be in devotional service and still not really access deep Krishna consciousness. It can often be very sad how much we can even know, but often not use it, or know it only from the mind and the intellect. And it's also quite amazing how much devotional service is a process of the heart. Because Krishna is there in the heart. And also our original aspect, our Atma, is there in the heart. And so much of devotional life deals with an uncovering. And if there's not sufficient uncovering taking place, then we know we will water the weeds, and we know the anarthas can be overwhelming. And so one of the reasons we give this kind of course is hopefully to help some devotees to be able to more genuinely embrace a higher Krishna consciousness by having less distractions. That's our first aspect. Second aspect is that we're very concerned with community growth and development, and concerned with ourselves being generally more whole, because there's an excessive amount of dysfunctional patterns in society in general. And somehow, although we are spiritualists and Vaishnavas, we have imbibed a lot of those things. Obviously, we're all products of heredity, environment, socialization in this life and in previous lifetimes. But we want to be less and less influenced by any of that stuff that's unhealthy. And even where it's unhealthy, we want to be able to separate ourselves from it by being more aware of how it looks and what it does in a negative sense. If you know something is very dangerous, a dangerous black snake, we then can be very on alert, realizing that it's poisonous, and it's in the room, and so even though we're active, we're constantly trying to make sure that it's not surfacing anywhere near us. Also, many times we discuss the wonderful clarity that Bhakti Vinod has given us in relationship to creating a wholesome person, wholesome institution, and a community, that everything must be properly addressed in its proper alignment. Good, healthy, proper care of the body so that we don't have to be so body conscious. Proper stimulation of the mind so that the mind doesn't become our enemy. The mind becomes harnessed and does not just give in to the senses, but is more in line with the intelligence. Significant, supportive socialization, while we honor it above, below, and around with Shastra. So we're going to do all of those things in the 11 hours that we have for this course, as we try to look at some of the things that are haunting us from the past, that once and for all we want to let them die. And things that could bother us in the future, so that we will be free, but also so that we'll be able to help others to be able to move through certain issues. Now, sometimes we are thinking that we are forgiving someone, or thinking that we have and we really haven't. Let me ask a question. How many of you distinctly know that you have a problem with grudges and holding on to anger. How many of you realize that it's a serious issue in your own life? So I was right, I got a bunch of angry people. Okay. Well, I should say a bunch of honest people, huh? Okay. How many really honestly feel that for them it's not such a problem? They find that they forgive very, very easily. Okay? Okay, you probably have the greatest problem. Okay? And of course, how many of you find that it's according to the circumstances, it's according to the individuals, it's according to, you know, the experience? Okay. This is very brief. Some signs when we do not forgive. And just try to reflect on these. It may fit you or it may not. But we're offering this course to you mainly for you to do this one. Okay? Because if you can grasp some of the information to be able to share it in a genuine sense, and that will be from the participation discussion, then you will work on yourself also, because you'll see the need. But you'll get much more power if you're thinking about how you want to help someone else. Because most people do get stuck in many of these kind of concerns, sometimes for most of their lives. Some signs when people do not forgive easily, some signs when people have not forgiven, even in cases where they think that they may. Some of the things that come forth is often a fear or being afraid to reveal your mind, to reveal your heart. There's some of us, because we've been burnt and hurt many times, or even one time very seriously, in a very devastating way, we now never fully open up to anyone, fully. Another case is that some people, some signs or patterns that they really haven't forgiven, even though they think they have, is that they have a low self-esteem. Some situation, someone has hurt them to such an extent, based on the error that they made, that now they're really afraid to step out. So even when there is opportunity, even when they practically know that they can do something, sometimes they don't, because they're carrying this wound. Some cases, it's just a sickness. Many of us are sick because we haven't forgiven. Some cases, we distinctly have not forgiven, and we see the person, we get angry, we hear their name, we get angry. Reflect on what they did, we get angry. But sometimes even those things are not showing on the surface, but they're repressed, and it's making the problem even worse. Because to repress it, because it is so devastating to the person, to repress it takes a tremendous amount of energy, and it begins to affect the mind and the organs of the body. See, when we do not feel loved, feel cared for, feel protected, we're holding anger and grudges. We're assaulting ourselves. From a psychological and a medical point of view, one is 10 times more susceptible to chronic disease. A person who's holding grudges, holding anger, holding frustration, feeling alienated, feeling not cared for, feeling abused. They may or may not, but the point is that they are accepting that is the case. In most cases, it's probably true. But even though it's true, for them to hold on to it can make them 10 times more susceptible to a chronic disease. 4 times more susceptible to premature death. For many people, they kill themselves by being so much wanting to kill somebody else, consciously or unconsciously. 5 times more susceptible to all types of diseases. 10 times more to chronic, very serious, ongoing disease. But 5 times to any type of disease. So, a significant part of our discussion will help us to see that when you forgive, you're really doing something for yourself. And we'll revisit that in lots of detail. We want to every day, as much as possible, we want to address two or three cases from the Shastra, classical cases of where there has been forgiving culture expression. When something was distinctly done, someone was abused, someone was attacked, someone was exploited, someone was denied, someone was cheated, put in danger, but at the same time they forgave. And we're going to use a code of how to, let's see, to address this. Why don't we come again and write the code for me? Each day you come, please bring a pen or pencil and paper. Because there are distinct things we'll do, and several things we'll do according to your response and your question. The code we want to use is sort of a 6-point code. When we look at these pastimes, we're going to try to look for 6 different things to see how present that they are in each of the pastimes. First one, we'll put, just put number 1, G-U. Then put a dash, gave up anger. So when we hear from yourselves about a particular pastime, then we're all going to listen to that pastime, and there's certain things we're going to be looking for as we reflect on the pastime that's shared. Number 2, OB. And put dash, overlooked the bad and just saw the good. Overlooked bad, saw good. Overlooked the bad. Okay. So we're gonna have our own little language. G-U-O-B. Okay, 3. N-R. No resentment or anger. Is anyone who needs paper who doesn't have paper? Want to pass this around? Sorry, I can't give you a pencil, but we give you paper. That's number 3. Number 4, Tiara. Took responsibility. For what happened. Do we have any tape for putting these on? Why don't you, we can take this, maybe for now, just put it on the board over there. Anyone have extra pens or pencils that they can loan out to someone? So there's an extra pen if somebody can use this. You're going to teach the course. I'm only here to facilitate. Number 5, TR, or that's number 5. Number, what are we on? Number 5 now? AF, accepted fate and relied on Krishna. Now, each of you are going to have to come back to the class, because if you don't come back every day, your partner is going to be in trouble. I'll explain that a little later. So, whoever you're sitting next to, except that's the person you're going to be, is going to be your partner. Okay, number 5. Number 6, WW. Well-wisher. And then put assist person in their advancement. And we'll go one more, just try to put a number 7 there. You'd have them all on the same sheet. Number 7 will be, our code will be PEN. Okay, number 7, PEN. Preached nicely. And then if you could squeeze in there, you have preach nicely. Okay, and right under that, just put influence the offender, that's all. Influence the offender. And this we need to put up on the wall somewhere so people will be able to see it. So I'll just go over those again. So our first, this is our code of forgiveness, or a code of forgiving. As we each day reflect on different pastimes from the Shastra, we're going to particularly look added from some of these approaches, these 7 items. And so we'll examine as you share, you and your partners share, a particular pastime which we're going to designate one for each of you. We'll look at if there is a distinct sign of giving up of anger, if there was overlooking the bad was there, but the focus was on the good. We'll look at the non-resentment and anger. In some cases, the bad is definitely marked, but is overlooked. In some other cases, it's not even considered. Anger doesn't even surface. Like here, anger was there. It was prominent, but it was given up. In this case, anger, yes, perhaps, maybe not, but definitely the bad was done, recognized, marked, but one was able to look closer at the good. In this case, the bad didn't even come into reflection here. Not necessarily was he denial, but it just didn't stimulate the person. Here, some bad was there, maybe anger, maybe not, but the point is, no, not anger, because the person took responsibility. So if there was some anger, the anger was more directed at themselves at some point. Accepted fate and relied on Krishna. All this will make a lot more sense later. You don't have to worry too much. WW, well-wisher. So even though something happened, was bad, an attack, an assault, an abuse, lack of accountability, so many things, the person was a well-wisher of that individual, and they elevated them. They assisted them, assisted the person in their advancement. PN, preach nicely, influence the others. These two last categories are extremely important, and we will spend time on that. For instance, our movement is not really a movement of just identifying the evil, combating and fighting the evil. It must be recognized. If we don't make a demarcation between what is bad, we won't also honor what is good. But nor is our movement a movement of joining the evil or of denying it. But it's more in the spirit of Lord Nityananda himself. When Lord Caitanya was ready to wipe out and deal with Jagadai and Madai, he brought it to the attention that in Kali Yuga, so much of this mindset is there. Better to elevate them, make them devotees. Better to transform. So, one of the best ways of dealing with some evil, some attack, some abuse, or whatever, is, if possible, to bring about transformation, to elevate the person. Here, preach in a way that influences the offender. Anyway, you may say that's a very elevated level. Now, I'm going to give 2 short stories to start off with. And then I'm going to pair you off so that you have a particular pastime or a particular personality that we're going to ask you and your partner to reflect on in the coming days. And each day it's part of the ongoing discussions. We're going to have at least two or maybe three of you to share the particular personality, what some situation that they forgave, and then we're all going to look at some of the ways that forgiveness was manifested and their expression. Now, I'm going to tell two classical stories just to get us in the mood, and then we move on to some more systematic things. Two stories that I found to be very revealing and that actually covers a lot of the points that we have here. I want to stand and sit at the same time. So the first one is, of course, in the case of Brigham Muni. We see there was a time when a group of sages were very concerned trying to understand who was more superior, Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu. And so Brigham Muni was commissioned to make this investigation. And we know the story, but we'll just revisit it very briefly. So we know first he went to his father, Lord Brahma. And normally, of course, he would offer prayers, the son would offer homage and prayers to superior, what to say of his father. But he did not speak any sweet words, nor did he offer any obeisances. And so he made an offense. Rama became disturbed, but being that it was his son, he didn't take to any harsh action, but he was disturbed. Then, of course, he went to his brother. He went to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva got up to embrace him. His brother has come in to show respects and affection. And Brigham Muni was distinctly disturbed and spoke how his brother Lord Shiva was unclean in his actions and in his association. He's hanging out in the graveyards. He's hanging out with the hobgoblins and lower entities and so many things. Looking rather tattered. And so Lord Shiva became furious. Became angry. He was ready to go to blows. And of course, only because Parvati stopped him, did he not physically deal with his brother. Then, of course, he went to Lord Vishnu. As we know, Lord Vishnu was there with his consort, Lakshmi. And he barged in, and he kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. And so, quite different from Brahma and Shiva, even though this was a greater offense, because the first offense was mental and the second was verbal, and here we have a corporal or physical offense. But we remember what happened. The action was improper for him to barge in, for him to kick the Lord.
Yes, that's Vishnu. What does that have to do with us forgiving people who do things to us?
And so, he then began to explain how now the chest was sanctified, and that Lakshmi, who normally is what, not considered to be so stable, now would be more fixed, based on his chest being sanctified. Okay, I want you to disavow that. One part of mine, okay? Now I'm going to tell another story, which is probably the other side.
as we embark deeper on this investigation. Now this story that we just finished, we see how in the case of Lord Vishnu, that anger did not even surface. I'm pretending I'm using this, huh? I thought I'd get angry. First day, already stopped. Gave up anger, overlooked the bad. Okay? Only saw the good. Inar was not resentful, took responsibility, was feeling that it was his fault. Considering he was lying down, did not receive him properly, his chest is hard, accepted fate, because he's Krishna himself, but accepted the situation, well wisher, and speaking very sweetly. So of course, this is exceptional because this is Vishnu. But all of these pastimes and deeds, we know have a particular reason and purpose for us, based on whatever our present situations are. So we don't just write it off only as the leader of the Lord, but we dive for the essence of what is the message. Now, another favorite story that involves so many of these, especially these helping ones here, is in the life of Ramanujacharya. See, as we go through the days and we reflect on some of these pastimes, it can help to surround us a little better. But first, understanding that, yes, that an integral part of life is being hurt, being abused, being misunderstood, somebody not following through, someone capitalizing on a situation, being opportunistic, utilitarian, and someone is obviously going to be, the subject of that. In many cases, it's ourselves. But sometimes we are the ones who are involved in assaulting someone else. In the time we may do it unconsciously. But this is all part of the duality of your world. And so much of our life and spirituals is to rise above the duality. Above our duality as well as somebody else's duality. The more that we are part of the duality of whoever's duality it is, the more we're wearing the armor to remain in the spiritual, in the mature world, rather than accelerating to the spiritual world. So in the case of Ramanuja, there was a Shaivite king who was very disturbed of Ramanuja's preaching and what to say of the profundity of his philosophy, how it was impacting other people since he was the personless. So he wanted, like often how demons do, they engage in trying to find ways how to establish their own plan, how to check the bhakti, and how to get other people to become confused and distracted for the actual goals, the higher goals of life. So he wanted to do such. So his plan was to bring Ramanuja in assembly and to try to have some pundits to defeat him. And so two of his disciples kind of got a wind of this and they thought, this doesn't sound right. Knowing how demons do, that they cannot be trusted. And so Parasa and Mahapurana, just to take precaution, they thought they should go instead of Ramanuja. So Goresh took Ramanuja's cloth and they went there. Now the king's idea was to first try to see if the pundits could defeat them. If the pundits could defeat them, then the king was going to kill them, going to torture them, force them to accept one way or the other to eliminate their preaching. So just as they expected that there was discourse, the Shaivite pundits could not defeat them. And so what happened is that then The Sabai king called for his men to torture them. Now, conclusion of the story was that Mahaprabhu, he was rather elderly. And so, the torture was so much on him that he left his body. And in the case of Koresh, they tortured him to such an extent that he was blind. He somehow found a way to stumble back to the shelter of Ramanuja. Ramanuja was quite shocked to see what had happened to his topmost servants. Very moved because his love was so much pouring for them. Same time being completely amazed at how much love that they had for him, that they had made the sacrifice. Even to the point that Mahapurana, he died gloriously. He was happy that what had happened, that was inauspicious, had come to him instead of Mr. Guru Maharaj. He didn't have anger at those who abused him, nor did he have anger that, holy, my guru's kept me into this mess. What kind of guru is this after all? And in the case of Koresh, he went back in the same spirit of accepting the fact that somehow that this was his fate and that he had been able to undergo this for his Guru Maharaj. Now Ramanuja really wanted to somehow to show his love, to protect him, to restore his disciple Koresh. Mahaprabhu had already gone back to the spiritual kingdom. So he asked him to go and to do some very special puja to a deity called Varadaraj. And this is a very powerful deity, a powerful presence of Krishna. So he did very intense, very comprehensive puja. And from this, the deity offered him a boon. This is what I said the other day in the Bhagavatam. Which Ramanuja understood what happened, knowing the potency of the deity, the mercy of the deity, and also the intensity of this disciple. But when the deity inquired from him what he would desire, what did he say? Someone else, what was his expression? What did Ramanuja ask for?
The attackers.
He only asked for the well-being and the blessings to pour on the attackers, that they would get liberation, that they would get full mercy of Krishna. Now here, as wanting to kill his own guru, defaming him, torture him, even kill him. He is being attacked, tortured. His loving godbrother has been killed. He's blind the rest of his life. And when he has a chance to have the darshan with the Lord, he doesn't say, well, give it all those guys. Destroy their whole village for the next 10 generations. Let it be known here from henceforth that no one should ever deal with the attacks of Vaishnavas again. Let them understand what it really means to deal with someone like my guru or myself. But he was having even more concern about them, realizing how devastating what they had done to their own spiritual life. Realizing the only hope for them was some divine intervention of divine mercy, and he was ready to be the agent, the catalyst for that divine mercy. So this is a pretty intense example of abuse, of duplicity, of attack, of assault. But one has every single reason to have revenge. Every single reason to go after and to try to bring some hurt and some harm. But not only that he didn't have to do this because he didn't have any anger. Didn't have to overlook the bad and tell the good because he didn't even go there for the bad. No resentment. He took responsibility. He only took responsibility in the sense of being happy that he could do service. That it could be him, that he could be used instead of this happening to his guru. Was excited to know that Krishna could allow him to render such intimate service
for his guru Maharaj.
And surely his example was his example of preaching in the most powerful way. He did this thing. Surely he preached when he was engaged in the debate. The whole exchange, of course, was preaching. And constantly the well-wisher, from the beginning to the end, until the Lord, Varadaraj, he had to come to the call of his devotees. Now, Ramanuja, hearing this, sent them back and requested and pleaded the next time, when there is such exchange with the deity, that on my behalf, you ask for your eyes back. And so only then, because he had been given this order, and his life was totally fixed, totally beyond any kind of duality, only fixed in service to Krishna and his Gurudev, and being so captured in love with all of creation, even those who assaulted him, that when the deity now appeared, then he requested, my Guru Maharaj has asked that I requested my eyes. So can you please allow me to serve my Guru Maharaj based on his desires? And then he was given his eyes back. So of course these are rather super extraordinary cases. We want to start off with these sort of cases. Now what I want to do now, and we're going to do a little interactive exchange because of the heat especially and because of the time. I want to give assignment, so listen closely. I calculated a while ago, it was 55 people, maybe there's more now. It's almost 60 people. We want to give you, I'm going to give you a personality for you and your partner to be responsible for. And if need be, I'll give you a reference where you can find it. That's not a subject of intelligence. I'll give you a personality, and you consider a particular, a classical situation related to that person of some abuse, and how that person actually forgave. And then you're going to share it with us the next coming days. Okay, so I'm going to start off. We're going to go straight across the rows here. We'll do the first, second, third. So I'm going to give you a particular personality. And it means the two of you. At some point, you know each other now. You know the name. You know the country he's from. You know his service. You know why he's here.
So you're going to work together based on who you're dealing with and how to help each other, why they're here, and how to share with all of us with this concern of being able to process and see forgiving better. So you're actually here because you're working, right? So we're going to work you even more. All right, we're going to give the two of you, you're going to take the pastime between Lord Chaitanya and Ramachandra Puri. Okay? Pastime between Lord Chaitanya and Ramachandra Puri. So, when we give you these pastimes, be ready any day, because any day you can be called to be able to share. So if you had time tonight, it's not so easy because books are not so available in some places. But if you have trouble with book, you see myself, or you see Divyam Bar, we'll try to arrange. I'm in Bhakti Chiru's Maharaj's room down. Is it upstairs or downstairs? Downstairs. All right. So if you have trouble trying to find the pastime, then you come see me during the day. I'll have to assist you a little bit. Look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anta Lila, Chapter 8. Lord Chaitanya and Ramachandra Puri. You just look at it, reflect on it yourself, or reread it. You're going to share some essential points about the forgiving process. Yourselves, Avanti, Brahmana, Bhagavatam 11:23. So you just take a reflection on that past time and just try to absorb yourself in what happened and what was the response. And then we'll try to look at it also. Okay, the two of you. The story of Prahlad, Bhakta Prahlad. May want to consult Bhagavatam 7:10-17. Okay, the two of you, Haridas Thakur. You can take any aspect of Haridas Thakur's life or forgiveness that you like. Okay, over here, let me see Parikshit Maharaj. Okay, our two devotees here, Jad Bharat. Help you look at Bhagavatam 5:10-5. Okay, two mothers here, Ambarish Maharaj. Now don't just expect the other partner to do the research. Both of you do. You determine who's going to speak if we call on you. But both of you should read the story, all right? Or if you know already the story, you just share the essence with us. But so that it's fresh in your mind, just try to reflect on it again if you can. Okay, the mother's here. Vasudev and Siddhavaki. We're just reading in the Bhagavatam class. Okay, I have two men here. Story of Dhruva Maharaj. For Vasudeva and Devaki, maybe you could try Bhagavatam 10:4-1, Dhruva Maharaj, Bhagavatam 4:8-9. Okay, next is Draupadi and Ashwatthama. Okay. Yes, Bhagavatam 1:7. Okay, next Narada and Daksha. So Bhagavatam 6:5-44. Okay. Here, Lord Nityananda. You can take any pastime you feel comfortable with. Let's take a few more because our time is going. Okay, the two devotees here, or the two of your pairs. Who's your partner that I can't see him? He's so transcendental. There's no one? All right. Okay. So, let's just take the two of you. All right. So even if you may not sit together next couple of days, but this is your partner that you're going to be sharing the pastime with. Both of you read it, discuss it if you like, but one of you is going to share it with us. Okay, next is, let's see, King Chittaketu. Okay. You can look at Bhagavatam 6:17. Okay, the mothers here, the Guru Kulis. Let's do Queen Kunti. Okay. Let's see. Our girls here. Let's do the story of Adora being insulted and insulting Duryodhana. That's Bhagavatam 3:1. Okay. Okay. Got mothers here. Okay. It's over here. There's maybe a language difficulty. The two mothers here. Okay.
Yes.
Prithu Maharaj being offended by Indra. Bhagavatam 4:20-18. Okay. All right. So two mothers here. Let's do Parshuram. That's Bhagavatam 9:13-6. We'll make it easy for you. We're giving you one or two areas you can look at. And let's do maybe just three or four more. See. Two brahmacharis in the back here. Yudhisthira. And we want to do Mr. Jyotirashtra, Two brahmacharis here. Let's do Krishna. All right? You'll find any pastime where Krishna is forgiving, okay? Okay? People getting away. Over here, let's find a pastime of Bhaktisiddhanta's. Pastime of Bhaktisiddhanta's. Any pastime you like where he's showing extended mercy, forgiving. And back here, Bhakti Vinod. Okay? Okay? And now here, Srila Prabhupada. Okay? Alright, let's forget for one or two more. His mothers came in late. Let's see. Okay, where are the partners here? Who are the two? Two of you together? Okay? You can choose any of the Goswamis. Alright? Okay. So don't forget who you're supposed to be dealing with. We didn't write it down, so we didn't hold you accountable to that extent. He doesn't have, it's okay. Now, what we want to do at this point is go back to our board, huh? Will you take this off? First, I want to ask you a question. Who can hurt you the most? Who can hurt you the most? Friends? Yourself? Those you love the most? Yes. These are all special categories. Friends? Because you let them in so much. You share so much with them. They're so much a part of you. Yourself, because you have to live with yourself every day, every moment, every second. Even when you're behind closed doors, you're still with yourself. And obviously those who you love the most. Somebody you don't really deal with that much, somebody who you have not given yourself to that much, they can hurt you, but not quite the same. They may hurt you even more physically, but emotionally, they cannot hurt you as much, or spiritually. So those who we expect the most from, those who we need the most from, those who we share the most with, they actually can hurt us, you know, more than anyone else. We want to make a list now of just some of the things that you feel or think about when you consider emotional hurt. Just reflect for a moment, in your own life when you think of pain and hurt, emotional hurt. What are some of the conceptions or some of the words that comes to you? We want to put a list of some of these on the board. So emotional hurt, emotional pain. What are some of the emotions, some of the feelings, some of the conceptions that, even people. Well, you don't have to put people, but some of the categories or conceptions that come to you. Uh-huh.
Revenge.
Okay, number one, revenge. You got a Brahmin Shastri here. Yes.
Disappointment.
You can make it personal and you can think in terms of when you are experiencing the emotional hurt, what are some of the things that's connected with that?
Separation.
Keep in mind now, this is not just a course we're dealing with here. We're trying to go through an experience of transformation. So in the next couple of days, we want to see how much we have transformed. Mm-hmm.
Loss of self-confidence.
Okay. A loss of self-confidence. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Despair. Okay. Despair.
Rejection.
despair, rejection. Okay. A little louder.
Betrayal.
Some very heavy words. She's writing in red also. Loss of confidence, rejection, emotion hurt. Yes?
Fear.
Okay, betrayal and then fear. In the back. A little louder.
Depression.
Depression. This is quite a group of awesome expressions, huh? Envy and pride. Okay. Pride, envy. So we have 10 there. Okay. Could remove one or two more.
Anger.
Okay, I think we can get one more up there. Yes. Frustration. Okay, so you see this gorgeous list here. All these wonderful qualities. Huh? This lecture is the qualities of a Vaishnava. Of a Vaishnava. Huh? All the qualities that a Vaishnava is not one to deal with. Huh? Revenge. So when we are hurt, it draws out some pretty heavy reflections and concerns. Some cases, all of these. Some cases, one or the other combination. Revenge, disappointment, separation, loss of confidence. Just notice that all of these things are disempowering. Huh? All of these are things that takes away from our love and wholeness for ourselves, for others, for the environment. These are also issues that separate us from Krishna in different ways. Revenge, disappointment, separation, loss of confidence, despair, rejection, betrayal, fear, depression, pride, anger, frustration. These are all amazing ways of how Maya finds avenues to try to infiltrate into our consciousness, because it opens up tremendous gap and it puts one in a very inauspicious mindset. And so we know the mind can be the best friend or greatest enemy. So when the mind becomes weakened, it loses its ability to be able to refrain from different kinds of allurements of sense gratification. Just notice, when you become frustrated, depressed, weak, in anxiety, gloomy, that all of the demands of the body become more difficult to deal with. You want to eat more, you want to sleep more, feel more sexually agitated, etc., etc. And when these things are not existing, we find that so many other healthier things are able to grow in our consciousness. We will come back to this. But what we'd like you to do now is, with your partners, I want you to just kind of turn to your partner somewhat, and there's two of you. You all got two seats, so this is nicely arranged. Two people on a seat. So the two of you on the hot seat. Huh? So you just turn to your partner. Now keep in mind now that in order for this course to work, we have to teach, participate, and discuss. In order for this to work, you have to also to take this in the spirit that you're working on yourself, especially so you can be able to help somebody else who may not learn what you're going to learn here, who may not process what you're processing, because we're really supposed to be servants of servants, and we're not here for any way for just moksha, involving ourselves in the Hare Krishna movement. We're not just trying to make ourselves strong so that we can be yogis or gyanis or whatever, but we're trying to somehow to become agents to be able to give great solace to the world. And it starts with our own families and associates first as we spread that. So all these exercises see as a way of how to sharpen your own weapons or to be able to have more variables, facility to be able to assault Maya and to bring Krishna in more. So on that note, we want you to speak with your partner. Now, you've got pencils and papers now, so you can do this first. First, I want you to write down three of people who you distinctly see in the category that they have given you the most hurt. I want you to write down, and you write in order. The person who's giving you the greatest hurts, disappointment, disturbance, emotional pain, put that person as your number one. All right? And then if there's two or three others, then you'll write those down. Now, if there's nobody who's given you any serious pain, no one has ever given you serious hurt, just consider who perhaps singly has given you some great hurt. Huh? Even though you're the person who nobody can hurt them, can hurt you, because whatever happens, you somehow just do not accept it. You internalize it. Therefore, you have kidney problems and gallbladder problems and maybe on the verge of cancer because you're holding it all in. But just put down three people who you feel it may be conscious on their part or maybe unconscious, but those persons have distinctly intruded in your life and they've given you great hurt, great pain. You just share with me who can give you the greatest pain. Those who are your friends, those who you're trying to connect with the most, communicate with the most, those you're trying to receive more love from. Nobody can hurt you more than them. So perhaps they're in your category. But you just take 1 or 2 minutes and you think about who has given you three persons who have in your life up to now have given you the greatest emotional hurt. Yes? Is it what? Can you hear on this side? What's his name? Oh, you don't have a partner? Yes, is there any mother who doesn't have a partner? Yes, oh wait, this right here. Can you come here or can she move her chair over? You're going to have to be together. So, maybe one of the men can take the chair over there, and you can join her. Is anyone else who's not partnered with someone? Okay, there's another mother here. Okay, Brahmachari, you can come over. There's a seat right here. And mother, if you can, Prabhu, can you bring your chair over there for her, and you take her chair. Mother, if you can just join over here, and since there's your odd number, just make it three. There'll be three in. Okay. He didn't understand. His chair. Just take this chair. Put it over here for her. If you take her chair, okay? Yes. Okay, you sit there. So we have a lot of chairs here, a lot of seats. I think this is one of the biggest class. We have a big room, so we have a lot of space. We have to use all these bodies. So what we'll do, if you can just join the two of them, your team will be three. Okay? Anyone else who doesn't have a partner? Okay. So try to come every day, otherwise your partner will not have you. We'll have to find another you to replace. But right now, this is individual. You can get strength from your partner's energy sitting next to you. But this is just for yourself now. You just write down on your paper three people who you feel have given you emotional hurt. Now, anybody who needs paper still, doesn't have any paper? You need paper? Okay. Where's my... I sent a pad around. Where is it? There's a mother in the back who needs paper. And whoever is holding onto my pad, can you send it up before I feel emotionally hurt? You know, sannyasis, we don't have much, but what we have, we're pretty attached to it. Bought this pad all the way from Australia. Okay. No, you don't have to write why. That's for you. You just write down the three... people, first, second, third, who have given you great emotional hurt. Other questions? Yes? Then you write that down. There's a certain entity, a certain institution, certain affiliation. You put that down. You know, if it's the Boy Scouts, you know, you can write it down. So So just take a minute and think about that. Be honest with yourself. And some of the signs that you haven't forgiven somebody and you think you have. If you're holding a grudge, that's an obvious sign you haven't forgiven. Some people find ways to medicate themselves because the issues they haven't released, they haven't forgiven. This doesn't apply to devotees so much, but sometimes people, they smoke, they take drugs, they overeat, and it's really not the issue of itself, the eating or the drug, but it's a way to cover up for some pain because they haven't released or forgiven the person who's projected that pain. Low self-esteem, building walls, compulsive types of behavior. Sometimes repeating certain things that has happened to us. It's like it's known that a person who's been sexually abused, that sometimes they become more prone to be sexual abusers themselves. And a lot that's connected with that is this tremendous pain that's associated with such. It rides them. They do the exact opposite of what they would like to do. Or some of you have found yourself in the same kind of relationship, especially those who are householders. You're in the same distinct kind of relationship that you unequivocally was trying to avoid because it's the kind of relationship that your mother and father had. And because you are so much disturbed with that and haven't forgiven them, then that has eaten out in your consciousness, has directed some of your present activities, and you are distinctly in that same kind of, get that same type of partner that you that was disturbing to your mother, and you have a husband just like your father. God forbid. sometimes depression and even suicide, physical ailments. These are just some categories, just in case that some of you who may be having some of these and may think you are forgiving, but may not be. And these may be some reasons, some signs showing that you really haven't forgiven. But where you can reflect and think of three persons that you feel have hurt you, you may have forgiven them or you may have not. That will come to later. But these are persons who their existence in your life has given you a lot of pain because you expect it and see differently. I'll just give you 30 seconds more on that. Anybody needs any more time? Okay, now your wonderful partner, who you know so well now, who you're going to be accountable for, they're going to be accountable for you. They're going to help you in dealing with some of these issues. You're going to help them. And maybe you're going to even keep in touch with each other after this course is over. Check on each other. Now, if you can just turn to your partner and just share with your partner your number one case. You don't have to share with us, but you just share with that partner some things about the event of how that hurt has come about. In other words, you're going to share with them how this person has hurt you. All right? Something about, yes. Amad is just mentioning about maintaining confidentiality. We don't want the person to be hurt a triple time or double time. They're sharing with you now. They're revealing their heart, you're revealing your heart. Some situation that's been very, you know, great trauma for you. And so we don't want this to be aired to everybody. About you thought that you had a problem, but this person's problem was 10 times worse than yours that you're sharing with everybody else around Mayapur. No, what you're sharing now, we're doing an operation in this room. We don't want to kill the patient, all right? So, want to help the patient. You're a doctor now. Somebody's in your life. They're in your hands. So they're sharing, all right? Okay. And if possible, you reveal as much as you can. But if you feel a little timid, then you can just mention person X, person B. You don't have to say the name. But you just share, you know, the event of what has happened. Okay? The more that you can just share what really happened, the better it is for you. What we're doing is for yourself. Yeah, so you're going to share amongst the three of you. You're just going to share the person who's giving you emotional hurt. You both share what that experience was. Hare Krishna. So, I mean, quite an unfortunate thing about being in the material world, having a material body, having material relationships, is that people disappoint the hell out of you, huh? Especially when you're expecting the most from them. They can really let you down. And people can often be very insensitive, right out harsh and obnoxious sometimes. And many times it's really done unconsciously. Tomorrow we'll be discussing rather systematically what forgiveness is and what it's not. And then look closer at reasons why we may have trouble trying to forgive someone. Looking closer at why people may do some things that may hurt us. And why sometimes they are very, very insensitive. But what we want to look at now is our own lives. That someone's existence is causing us some big problems. Or has caused. For some of you, the problem has been there and you've moved away from it. You've forgiven the person, but they definitely did something that was disturbing to you. And it's not that you have to forget about it, because you can in most cases. And even if you've forgiven that person, you still may have put them number one on your list. Because what happened. So we'll explain tomorrow so many things that we don't have to do when we forgive, which causes some of us not to forgive because we are not understanding fully what it entails. But what I want to look at this last part of the session that we're here is some of you who are looking and thinking that number one person who's caused you problems, but you can distinctly say that you've actually forgiven the person. We'd like a few of you would like to help see the rest of us. Because we know that a Vaishnava is Karunika, the Tikshava, is merciful and tolerant. A Vaishnava is not accepting just orthodox things. Vaishnava is constantly trying to see Krishna, constantly trying with great transcendental greed. He wants Krishna. Doesn't want to get distracted by any aspect, any form of Maya, any of its combinations and permutations. Vaishnava knows that Krishna is always lovingly trying to make some very comprehensive, compassionate arrangements for us. But we have to move a lot of things aside sometimes to be able to connect. We also know that everyone is a servant of Krishna. Some people have greater amnesia than others, but Krishna says everyone is on his path. Not those who are very thoughtful, very kind. Not those who are very compassionate. Everyone is on Krishna's path. But still, we all have our free will and we use Krishna's energies in different ways. We take shelter of his Bahiranga, Tatasha, and Antaranga, different aspects of Krishna's energies we find ourselves wrapped up in. And some of those who've given us a lot of pain, some of them perhaps were trying to help us. And their so-called help was just obnoxious. And some of them distinctly were trying to demise, were trying to give us trouble. And in some cases, they may have even assaulted us with some distinct maya. In some cases, it goes way back. In the world now, is it 20%, in some places, one-third of all women are sexually abused. And in some countries like America and some of the European countries, one-fourth of all boys are sexually abused. And so for many people, at a time when they were somehow needing such great protection, someone who's supposed to be a protector was doing the opposite, was abusing. And some people's lives in very critical times in their life, when they needed someone to give them some healthy advice and guidance, that it wasn't there. Some of us sitting here are products of alcoholic parents. And through so much of our life, when we're trying to grow up and to mature and to have support, we found that the majority of time there was no strong support system. And for many of us, every day practically, we're living with a mind culture of feeling abandoned. And in some cases, in our relationship with brahmacharis, relationship with our authorities, relationship with our wives or husbands, is that even though they are trying to show that they are fully present for us, we can't accept it. Because we are still so wounded and we haven't forgiven, and so there's a part of us that's shut down. That even when opportunity is there to give us love, affection, shelter, knowledge, guidance, protection, advice, we can't accept it. There are many devotees in this movement who can never accept right now, genuinely, any authority. Because at critical points in their life, authorities have abused their love, their attention, their concern. In some cases, it goes way back, even before we became devotees. And so for some devotees, they are hurting their spiritual life and being able to surrender more, accept guidance and protection. Because they haven't forgiven. They haven't been able to open up now to allow such help to come forth. Some marriages, some devotees have married two or three times. And in some cases, the partner could have been a good partner to help them in their spiritual life. But because they're having this, some of these issues of loss of confidence or of rejection, that even when somebody's accepting them, they are not accepting it themselves. In some cases, they're so afraid of being betrayed that they become the betrayal. They themselves betray their associates, colleagues, partners. In a whole lot of cases, this bias, this fear is so strong that when you're afraid somebody's going to bother you, attack you, steal from you, then you set your life up around the fact that that's going to happen. And so you act or you put yourself in a situation as if it is happening. If it doesn't physically happen, you've already made it happen to your psyche. And often when we're fearful, we're afraid somebody's going to attack, so we attack them first. And this one is just, you know, we won't even go here about depression. Pride, anger. And so this karma is directly in opposition, categorically in opposition to, you know, to prema. We have revenge, then that means there's constant systematic thinking of how we're going to hurt this person at least as much as they've hurt us or more. And so when the mind is so occupied with that, then it surely cannot be able to receive so much of Krishna's love and guidance. As we saw in these extreme cases of Vishnu and of Koresh, how they did not imbibe any of this other stuff here. Because there was no facility for them to deal with the duality. It doesn't say we have to be in denial. We'll touch upon that. No, if we're in denial, that will also create a greater problem. If we have been hurt and we deny the hurt, that will make it worse. Because the hurt is there. It's the marks are there. And so we have to be able to recognize, address it, to be able later to become freed from it. And we'll give you some techniques of how to address it and how to free it, become free. But now, this last part of the session, we want to teach each other. Now, Bhaktivinoda explains the power of sharing things in assembly. We have a powerful situation that we're in the Holy Dham, so we're in a Tirtha. So whatever we do, good or bad, whatever we do, it's revealing. We have more of a cleansing effect. We have more of a deeper experience for growth and for maturation. Whatever prayer we make, whatever cry we make, whatever desires we have to want to become stronger so we can be able to facilitate others better, it's more powerful in the Holy Dhams and more powerful when we share. And this is something very wonderful that we're having so many of the courses, Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Vaibhava, MIHE courses in the Holy Dhams. I think this is Krishna's trick. It's a way to help us to learn, but to help us to learn with also much more intensity. Same thing we could do in our own temples and whatnot. It's powerful, but it wouldn't be the same. Not the same as in the Holy Dham. But also if we're dishonest, and if we're not revealing, then we cheat ourselves even more by being in the Holy Dham. So, for our own edification, growth, and for part of your transformation, and being freed of some of this hurt, or more freed, we like some of you now, as you think about that number one name you have there, and you don't have to share the name with us, but in cases where you feel that you have forgiven the person, we'd like you just to briefly just to share some things about the experience. Just a little summary of the hurt and how you're able to forgive. And this is you know, a voluntary thing. One, if you have genuinely forgiven, this will help you even more because you'll be helping us by the sharing. If you think you've forgiven and you have not, by your sharing it, some of the stuff that's left, it may drop itself right here. Later we can look a little at some of those who haven't forgiven. But this is cases where you feel that you have. We just like to hear from you how you were able to deal with this in some type of Krishna conscious way. And so it's become an experience of a growth experience for you. But the thing happened and it was devastating. Okay, start this.
So it's a little easier for me to do this probably than most of you because I teach conflict resolution and so I do this all the time. But I thought that since I'm here to work on my stuff too, it's nice to be able to share with everyone. So I had a lot of issues with my father because I was abandoned by him when I was about, I think about 5 or 6 years old. He and my mom, I don't know really what happened, but whatever happened, and he left my mother. And my mother kind of brought me up with my other two siblings. There were three of us. And my mom always used to tell me stuff about my father, that he was not a good guy and da-da-da-da, whatever, you know. She was always like, shh, he's just not a good person. So I kind of, like, believe that. And I had a lot of resentment with him with that for many years. Actually, I was born in South America and then in Central America. And when I was 11 years old, I moved to New York with my mother. So I never really got to talk to my father or, you know, got to see him. And he was just this person that gave birth to me, and I didn't have no real relationship with him. And so anyway, as I became a devotee, I started kind of understanding that there was definitely some stuff going on with me, with my father, that I needed to address. So maybe about 4 years ago, after I finished teaching a workshop in West Africa, I asked my mother if she would accompany me to Central America to meet with my father so I could sit with both of them to find out what actually happened all these years. So at first she was totally like, no way, I'm not going to do that. She hated his guts. But because she loved me a lot, she surrendered, and she agreed, and she came with me. And I sat with her and my father. My father is somebody I never really talked to. I had no real relationship with him. But I just said, you know what? This has been bothering me for many, many years. It affects my relationship with lots of people, especially the opposite sex. So I need you guys to let me know what happened. And I sat with them for hours, and it was kind of like pulling teeth, but they did. They shared with me, you know, from the time I was born, what happened, what transpired, each thing that happened. I got to understand from both of them that that they both really loved me very much. They really, really loved me. They just were young people, and they, you know, just couldn't really deal with life because they weren't trained to deal with life. And so because I have Krishna conscious training, I could understand that. I was like, wow, this is what happened to people that don't have training before they have children. They sometimes make lots of mistakes, and they affect many people's lives. So, you know, I've forgiven my father. It was a really wonderful experience. I was really happy that I had an opportunity to go down there and be with him. And, you know, I have a good relationship with him now. I still don't really see him very often because he still is in Central America. But anyway, I don't have that. I don't walk around with, you know, oh, my father probably was a bad guy, and as a result, you know, all guys are bad guys. That's generally what happened with ladies. All the guys are bad guys because my father was a bad guy. And so we're trained like that. So this was something that happened with me.
So it may seem like, well, hold a minute, that happened a long time ago. It happened before she was a Vaishnava. Why should that be of any importance now? Because she's carrying, you know, some interesting karma, and this happened in her life, in this lifetime, and if she hadn't allowed that to go behind her, it could have tremendous interferences with the life that she's leading now in trying to accept her ultimate father, Krishna, and trying to accept a guru, and trying to accept her husband, or dealing with authorities per se. And so she has allowed herself not to carry that so that she can be more healed, to be in a better position to try to read, accept, associate, accept, and to experience. Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, yes, should we look at the problem we're having now with people and say, okay, well, that's not really what the real issue is about? Should we like to look deeper into
that? That's up to you. He's saying, so should we look at people and consider that that's not the real issue? We hope that by the time the course is over, that whatever problems that we had or are still having, that we'll have additional ways of how to look at it. Because in so many cases, we have held on to it, and in other areas even made it worse, because we're only ready to look at it a certain way. It's not that looking at it a different way automatically makes it go, but it definitely gives you more ways to look at it. Someone else?
Hare Krishna. Many of you will probably identify with the same problem, or it's from the family also. And I put on the first list my mother. The fact is that, like also probably many of today's people, are from broken families. And first is that I really relied on my mother going away from my father because he was as he was. And then in the end, she married again, and now her new husband was not in good relations with me. And in the end, even my mother turned against me, so I had to go away. So I was disappointed twice, right? So, but then luckily I got Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and I found that how karma has its ways, how it's all like a role play. So how did I solve it? Or at least hope I solve it to some level. I would say philosophically first, that understand that I'm not this body and all these connections, it's all like some role play of puppets, and it's just have to unroll like this fan, stop rolling. And now I understand that they were young, they were not inexperienced, they were carrying their karma from their parents, and they experienced bad things as they moved away. And actually, it's also, if you just think back how you were conceived, how, in which way, what was the cause that you actually got this body, what was the reason they conceived you. And so then you see that in a way we all deserve our karma. Now we have a chance to break this chain, so we won't do the same with our children and carry on this cycle generations after generations. So philosophically, to understand that actually we are not this body and also not this mind, and then it's much easier. But of course, I took this seminar in 3 years ago, and now I compare the same problems, and it's a big difference. So the process is working. Thank you much.
Actually.
Okay, so we wanted to take another. Your problem was there. Now you're able to look at it, to share with us how philosophically you're able to address it and to forgive. Okay? And forgiving is not always just a one-time thing. I mean, you can have some really heavy hurt and you can forgive the person and it's genuine, but still, there are many levels to it. And we're going to, we'll be touching upon that as we go on. Yes. Every day we're going to tune it up a little more. Okay? So you just have to get ready.
With my father, the problem goes back basically since as early in my life as I've started in this life, since I was born. It wasn't before I really became a devotee, because I've been in Krishna conscious, well, I've been in contact with the Krishna conscious movement since I was born. Pretty much my entire life my father's been traveling around, living in different communities and temples with me, and my mother's never been there. And until I was about 12 years old, I never really thought about it or understood it very much. And then I started asking my father what happened, and all this time he had told me she was actually killed in a car accident. But then I started asking more and more, and he could see I was a little older, so he told me actually that what had happened was she was a devotee, but she had a lot of trouble with the regulative principle. She was an alcoholic. She had other drug problems. And so right after I was born, she was drinking again, and she was thrown in prison. And she was an extreme alcoholic. She was like threatening to kill my father and really intense things. So when she was put in prison, I think for trafficking drugs, my father just said, I don't want to raise my son in this kind of environment, and he took me to a temple in California at Mount Kailash. It was a farm Hans Saduda had there. And since then, he's raised me at various temples and all over the country. And at first, I was very angry at my father for this, that I had never stayed in one place very long or had a very stable situation. But then I met my father, my mother for the first time when I was 15. And then I could actually, and I talked to my father about it. And I could see how much love he actually had for me. And that actually, I started talking to him and he said his parents had done the same thing with him, just traveling around. So it was actually just the conditioning he had from his parents. And I could see that despite all of that, he had tried his best to keep me in the association of devotees throughout my life. And I was so happy that he had done that. And I, to the best of my ability, I've completely forgiven him for not always being there and have it, so I had to stay in many places.
So what we're already seeing that there are the different ways of how to see what has happened to us, especially as we try to go a little deeper and consider other variables. And we're going to see how many times people who have disappointed us, have hurt us, that they are extending what has happened, you know, to them. Or sometimes the more that someone is obnoxious to us, it's a degree of how much they're paining inside themselves. Many people who disappoint, assault, abuse, or confuse others in their relationships, it's just a small aspect of the dysfunctionalism that's going on within their own consciousness. And there are times when if we can understand that a little better, we can allow ourselves not to be overly disturbed. We can also be in a better position to, you know, to be able to help them as well. So you notice in these cases, the next days go on, and as devotees are sharing some of the stories in our shastra of these great, great personalities. And constantly you will see how they do not just deal only with the action. Because they dealt only with the action, in most cases they would be in a combative, you know, type of mentality. Or they would even, because they have more than the power, the shakti, to be able to destroy the, you know, the object of their, what would be our anxiety. But they do something different. They find ways to help that person so that they're not taking anything away from themselves. They're not carrying any assault. Tomorrow will show that as you do not forgive someone, you're literally allowing that person to attack you over and over and over and over again. By holding on, having a sense of revenge, we have to ask ourselves, how much do we want to see that person suffer before we can release them? And as a Vaishnava, thinking about making someone else suffer, that's not a Vaishnava consciousness. Our consciousness is how much can we be ready even to take on some weight, take on some suffering, so that others can have more chance. And if we can't think like that, at least we can't help, we don't want to hurt. So by holding the grudge, there's a part of us that's saying, I'm only going to let go when that person is really hurt, when they know how much they've hurt me and they're feeling it, then I may think of letting go. After I tell them, just see. Or how long do we allow that to eat out in our consciousness, to make us sick, to shut us down from being able to be loving every moment? Just like some of you now, as you think of your number one person, just thinking of that person, you feel pain. Just thinking of that person, it's like you're reliving what they have done to you. It means you haven't forgiven them. And it also means you're still letting that person intrude into your consciousness. Not saying that what they did wasn't so bad, but you holding on is accepting that you are so weak, you are so unimportant, you do not have the value to be, you do not have the worth to be really valued. So therefore, it's going to let this just keep haunting you in your consciousness. Just jump forth and interfere with what you have to serve the Vaishnavas, serve your guru, to serve Krishna. So maybe we have just a few more. Each person that they're sharing, that helps them. Even if you have forgiven by your sharing, it helps you to move away from that another step. If you haven't forgiven, it helps you look a little closer if you think you've forgiven. But we're still dealing with those who feel that they have forgiven so that we can share in the victory of you being able to live in the present. Because when you say, when you forgive, you're ready to learn from the past, but you're ready to live in the present and prepare for the future. When you don't forgive, a lot of stuff is going on in your life, but you're still living in the past. And most of us, we want to get that past behind us, move out of that space. So someone who also... Nirmala, you... Where something has happened and you're able to deal with it in a Krishna conscious way so that you can forgive that person or that situation.
Well, it is a pathetic love story, you know. Please don't mind. I was in...
We all have those.
And I'm being frank. Please don't mind. So I was in Gurukul all these days and... just recently I graduated and I'm serving Mataji. So when I was in Gurukul, you know, we had real strict rule, you know. We can't talk to any girls. Anyway, it's like real brahmachari. So I was really nice. I never spoke to any girl like in that way or like that. So right after I graduated from my Gurukul and you know, so one day... I just saw somebody and I just, you know, I thought, okay, I love you, you know. So I went to that person. I'm not going to say who and, you know, secret. I just said, you know, this is what I have in my mind. What do you think about it, you know? And the person said, well, you know, I have to, you know, give me time. I'll let you know. So anyway, after a few days, you know, person said, okay, I don't mind. All right. And you know, this was my first time. I'm not lying. I'm not, you know, trying to just, you know, show up or something like that. This was my first time because in the whole life I was in Gurukul. And you know, how strict is Gurukul? You know, you just can't, you know, sneak around and just do something, you know. So this is my first time and I really meant, like, really was from my heart, you know. Anyway, for a few months, you know, we're kind of together. Nothing serious, very soft. And, okay, so this is the story. And then suddenly one day I was in Calcutta for a few days and I just came from Calcutta. And the person tells me, you know, like, sorry, I'm no more with you. I was like, okay. Why? You know, I mean, give me some reason. Person said, well, I'm just not with you. I was like, okay, because I know, you know, if I just put more pressure on the person, she will be kind of... So I just said, okay, relax, no, relax. Afterwards, you just tell me why. I want to know why, you know, you just can't say that I'm not with you. You have to give me some reason, right? So I gave time, and then still, she was saying the same thing, I'm not with you. And you know, out from that time till like now, even I don't know, I think I'm okay, since Gurudev came, I'm serving him. I felt really hurt because it was my first, you know, so anyway, I can't do anything, you know. I mean, I just can't say, you know, you have to be with me. You have to say that, no, I'm with you. No. It's, you know, it's their choice. So that really hurt, you know, hurt me so much. And I also understood that, you know, it's not, it's a, It's not what I want. It's what they want. So, you know, she said, okay, all right. Then after that, I never went to her and just said, ask about that. That's it. I don't want to disturb anybody, you know. But I forgive. I forgive that person. Whatever, forgive. Whatever, yeah. You know, it's her life. I don't want to interfere in her life. And I'm sorry for that. I think I wasn't appropriate to say these things about Gurudev, in front of Gurudev. But sorry. Sorry, Gurudev.
Right now, the corgi. You can say it in front of me. That's why I'm a sannyasi. I got hurt also. And I said, that's enough. Now I'll take sannyas. So maybe I have to take sannyas now so you won't get hurt again. So, but those precious times are the times we see people who we expect the most from, people who try to give the most, people who expect to receive the most. Nobody can hurt us as they can. And we can hold those angers and anxieties and grudges and things for the rest of our life. We can carry it, and we can then categorize other people that someone else is going to do that to us, and so we're afraid to reveal ourselves again. We can minimize our humanness, our spirituality, or we can try to process it in some Krishna conscious way. So he's processing it. I see by the time the week is over how much you become fully freed. Some of you who are saying you're freed, you're still dealing with it. But as time goes on, we'll see how much more you can be freed, be able to accept it, be able to see some good from it in some ways. So maybe we have one or two more, and then we'll stop. Anyone else? Yes, please. Is there a clock here? Okay. These are all, you know, real life experiences. So as devotees share, reveal their hearts, it's like a piece of their life. So it's a precious part of their life, and we want it to be precious to us also.
Hare Krishna. I just want to tell one experience of being hurt when I had one with temple authority. It was just some authorities were changing, some another authority came on them. And the atmosphere that he created was kind of a very heavy, very suppressing, very restricting toward the devotees, not concerning their own personality, their own feelings. He sent many devotees out of the temple thinking that because they were from other countries or whatever. So by myself being heard by someone who was maybe not considering my feelings, and then not only that, I think even more painful it was having to see how others were abused. I felt sometimes even more pain because I felt I can easily deal with my hurt than seeing others being hurted, and I couldn't do much about it. So each time I was seeing the temple president, I just felt such a deep, strong pain in my heart. And I was thinking, why am I feeling such a strong pain? He's not doing right now anything to me. It's kind of it's not real. Maybe he've done something before, but now he's doing anything to me, and maybe he doesn't want to do anything, but why am I feeling such a fear and such a pain? So once, I wrote to my spiritual master, I just wrote one sentence. I wrote like, I feel like in a concentrated camp. But I didn't want to blame. I felt, you know, I didn't feel nice to blame someone for what I'm going through because I understood it's kind of my karma. And then so when I had the next darshan with him, I think he understood the whole situation. So when he was in the temple president and me, then he just said, oh, I think it's a nice time that we can just sit down and talk. And I was like, he's like, this is the person who's causing me the most pain. I just want to talk to you, but now I have to sit with him. I just looking at him, I feel so much pain. But I'm like, okay. So then Guru Maharaj sat there, and then he just started kind of going on my case, like, you're like this and you're like that, and you want to go to, you know, just you want to go out of, I wanted to go to Padayatra. And he said, you just want to escape out of the difficult situation, and I don't like you when it's difficult, you go away. No, when it's difficult, you have to stay. And I was like, oh no, but I really want to go because I want to, I really like it. But then Guru Maharaj was like, anything I've said, he smashed me down like to pieces. And I was like, Guru Maharaj, but you know him, you know the situation, so I know that you're aware of the things. So it's like, why are you taking only his side? I just thought like that. But then, as he would understand what I'm thinking, he said, you see, I didn't say, I just thought. He said, you see, there's a part of the truth on what you're saying, but this is not the whole truth. He said, we should see how Krishna sees. This is part of the truth how you see, but it is a part of the truth on his side, and Krishna sees more. So he said, we have to learn how to see. He said, Krishna consciousness means see how Krishna sees. From our previous lives, from their previous lives, we have to learn and understand. And in one sense, I had a faith in my spiritual master because I knew that he knows me and that he knows the situation, and I knew that he wants the best for me and he likes me, that he doesn't want to hurt me. So kind of it was a very difficult time for my faith in my spiritual master also. But I kind of went through, and meanwhile, as he was so heavy with me, and I was thinking kind of unjustly heavy with me, but then I kind of kept that faith, and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to see, let me observe my heart, how much faith I have in my spiritual master. If after this, what all he has said to me, I will feel some resentment or hurt in my heart, it means there's lack of my faith in him. And I was actually very happy that at the end of that conversation, I felt no resentment or no hurt, feeling of hurt toward my spiritual master. So I was actually very happy that Krishna showed me that condition of my heart. And then I asked Guru Maharaj later after the darshan, and asked him, so you see, sometimes when someone hurts me, I have that feeling of hurt. And even if I see that person passing by, I still feel hurted. And I feel sometimes it's unrealistic that I feel that pain. He said, I don't know how to deal with this. Then he said, there are two ways you can deal. One way is that you can just observe your feelings and you can overcome them. I said, but if you can't do that, there's another way. Then you can be very straightforward. He said, it's risky, but you can be straightforward. You can go to the person and say, I'm very sorry, but for me it's very difficult to deal with you because I was hurted by you. And actually it helped me a lot. Not only in that situation, but because it happens very often that some small hurts will be there, here and there, to help me to deal with that kind of situations in my life. Either I could forgive or just stand it over. If I couldn't, then I learned to express it, my feelings. So that was a kind. I don't know how much I have forgiven, but to that person, but I think it's kind of a helped me to understand that he has his own part and his own suffering and his difficult situations, that his frustrations that causes him to act in certain ways, and that I had my own. I just seen an astrological chart, and I was seeing that I was just in a very difficult period with the Saturn, and that he had a Saturn in the seventh house, so he was just an executive of my karma at that certain period. So in that sense, I understood, okay, it's not personally, it's just some karma that I have from the past that I have to do.
Okay, so we're just about ready to conclude so that tomorrow we can start on some fresh points. But there's two last things we want to do. Some of you, just very briefly, in the next 5 minutes or so, when you were able to forgive someone, can you just let's put on the board here as I scribe again. When you felt that you could forgive someone, just give us in maybe one or two words, the shortest words you can, how you felt after you were able to forgive, after you felt that you were able to release. Gopal? Number one, relieved. Okay. Peaceful. So something is riding us. We feel relieved. We feel peaceful. Mm-hmm. Well-wisher. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gratitude. Optimistic. Okay. Well-wisher. Optimistic. Uh-huh. Self-improvement. Take it personal. Think of instance in your own life. Something happened, some occurrence is there, you were able to forgive, and something that you carried away, you know, from that. Refreshing. Because, you know, life is some bond, it's relationships, and relationships have, you know, so many dynamics. Mm-hmm. More loving. Okay. Lift it up, okay. And so we remember our category. Just put feelings when we forgive, maybe at the top there. Because we'll be coming back to these different charts later. Mm-hmm. Okay. Free to move on in life. Freedom. Yes. Happy. Focus, okay. Focus more on goal. Okay. Trustworthy. Okay. We have a little room for maybe one or two more. Yes. Light. The acidic powers. Lighter than the feather. Uh-huh. Stronger. Now, what we notice here, and the last one is stronger, is, you know, it's quite opposite, isn't it? And here we see a lot of saintly qualities, huh? Lots of sadhu qualities. Live peaceful, well-wisher, optimistic, grateful, gratitude, self-improvement, relationship, loving, free to move on, happy, focus on the goal, trustworthy, light, stronger. In contrast to revenge, disappointment, separation, loss of confidence, despair, rejection, betrayal, fear, depression, pride, anger, and frustration. So we can see how, yes, something happened, but something happened and it put us in an unhealthy space. Whatever maya that person may have been in, consciously or unconsciously, whatever their situation was, that's for them. But the hurt put us in this sort of space. And whatever maya or stagnation the other person may still have, that person may be the same person doing the same thing, but when you allow yourself to forgive, then this became more part of you. Or this is more of an expression, you know, of your essence, which is less interfering with your higher self, which is now allowing you to give more nourishment to the soul. And hopefully your acceptance will later help to transform the other person. But if it doesn't, at least you don't allow this person to put you in a situation that takes away from honoring your spirituality. Now, so that we can go fully into a whole nother phase tomorrow and looking more at what forgiving is and what is not, we'd just like you to do one more dyad. And in this dyad, when you're talking to your partner, if you can just share with your partner situation that's going on in your life, and maybe still one of those same three, it could even be the number one, where you feel that you have not forgiven. Situation where you feel you have not forgiven, or you feel you have not forgiven as much as you would like to. It may be that it's not even starting yet, but perhaps you haven't forgiven as much as you like to. If there's a case that's like that, both of you share. Or if only one of you have, then you share. So we can just do that as our last assignment now. Situation where you have not forgiven, or you feel you would like to forgive more. It may be the same you've already addressed, but still share. Most likely it's one of those three. As you share with your partner this instance, you also share with them how it's making you feel now.